You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where trainer and trainee discuss fitness, herbalism, and healthy habits for life. We're your hosts. I'm Paula Kirsch, owner of Botanically Curious and artisan herbalist.
And my name is Danielle Kreese, certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. Now, before we get started, if you could do us a brief favor and go to Apple Podcasts and just leave us a review, we'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, let's start the show. Hello, hello.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back to another episode.
Yes.
Well, we are starting a new month and Mother's Day is coming up. So today's episode and this month in general is kind of revolving a bit more around women and women's issues and mothers and pregnancy and stuff like that. So our first episode of the month is going to be about kind of fitness and the way that you could move and giving you that confidence to move again while you're going through your pregnancy and a couple tips that you could keep in mind. And then I know that Paula is going to hit on a bunch of herbs and she's going to be focusing more on new mothers and kind of what happens and how you could support yourself after the fact. Just want to say, I am not a mother. I don't plan on being a mother, and I've never experienced this. So Paula is going to be our resident mother. She has that firsthand knowledge of everything. I'm sure she could give us some anecdotes about her experience. But my stuff is just solely based on research. So I really just wanted to throw that out, especially on my behalf, that, you know, to always check in with your doctor and stuff before starting anything fitness or even herb-related, as much as I trust Paula and everything she has to say. Everyone's different. We don't know if you have anything going on beforehand. So just keep that in mind as you go into the rest of this episode. But before we get started, Paula, how are you? We had an event this weekend.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about it?
That was awesome. We had some really great people. You recently got your outdoor space set up, so that was perfect timing for that. Yeah, and it was great. You know, some really great questions that we got from the people that came. They enjoyed the workout. I mean, it was just all around awesome.
Yeah, and I feel like they all left with so much knowledge, and all of them were so into the teas afterwards, which was really, really great. And just kind of piggybacking off of that, just for anyone who is listening in the Southern Oregon region, we do have another event coming up at the beginning of June, and we already have tickets out so that if you do want to kind of get your mother something special, you could have a special experience together.
Right.
This one's actually going to be a little different, which we're excited about, because we're going to take you on a hike and a workout, and the tea aspect and the herbal aspect is going to shift a little bit as well, since we are going to be kind of in a different environment.
Yeah. So it's going to be really great. If you've been following our Instagram and you saw the video we posted where we were making herbal mocktails, that's what we'll be doing. And so we'll be hiking up into the woods a little bit, doing a few little exercises outdoors, getting some fresh air. And then I'll be explaining the herbs that I'm using in the mocktail and making everybody mocktails before we travel back down and finish out the day. So
Paula and I have actually had quite a few workout sessions where we've been rocksing. That's about, I was segueing into the mountain or the trail that we take, but we usually go to this local trail called Roxy Ann, and we've kind of figured out places that we can stop and incorporate some different type of movements. So it's not just the hike, but a little, like, you're actually getting in a full workout rather than just the cardio aspect of it or the hiking aspect of it. So keep an eye out for that and look us up on Instagram, on Facebook to find the links to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So going into the business of the day, starting with a little bit of the fitness aspect of everything. And the reason we kind of wanted to start here was because I think there are a lot of misconceptions revolved around what you should or shouldn't or can or cannot do while you're pregnant.
Absolutely.
And you could correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, I haven't experienced that, but I know that definitely in the past as well, and maybe with the older generations, it was a lot of being really still,
absolutely,
being really calm. You know, you didn't want to jostle that baby around. I mean, having your afternoon cocktail and a cigarette was totally fine, but don't exercise too hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because that could be damaging to the child.
I was raised by my grandparents, and so when I got pregnant, I was really young. I had a normal running routine for a while. I really enjoyed that. And then as soon as I got pregnant, my grandmother, you know, this older generation, was just like, well, you're going to end up giving yourself an abortion if you run while you're pregnant, and definitely don't wear jeans that are too tight. You know, like all these crazy things. But
wives' tales.
Yeah. But being so young, you know, I was actually still in high school at the time. not knowing anything, it was my first pregnancy. There's a lot of women that actually gain quite a bit of weight during their first pregnancy because they're not sure how much they can move and what they can do.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And, you know, I'm glad that we're talking about this because, you know, with all of those misconceptions of the past, there is still a lot of research that does need to happen. I mean, so much of what I was reading was talking about how there's not enough research on, we've talked about this before, on women's health and exactly Absolutely. What happens with pregnancy and stuff like that. So all of this, while I think we'll be definitely imparting safe information for you all, you know, there's a lot of space for us to grow and what we need to learn and what we can learn in regards to women and their bodies and the changes that happen and how to fully support that and not be scared of, you know, movement or kind of living while you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. So again, just be careful, take it a grain of salt, especially if you have any pre-existing conditions or any contraindications to working out, but your physical activity should be continued, especially if it's something that you did before. Like Absolutely. You mentioned that you were a runner because, and again, Paula, I'm going to say this often. I know that I haven't experienced it personally, but I would assume that your mental health would have maybe been impacted in a positive way had you felt comfortable running while you were pregnant or being able to continue that routine.
Yeah, especially if you have already been active before. And then as you get into the later stages of pregnancy where you really start feeling pregnant and a lot of those things, and then there's the stress of being a first-time mother and all of those, where exercise can really alleviate some of that anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so all of this, it's not just for the physical, but for the mental, as it always comes down to, pregnant or not. I know that I would probably lose my mind if someone told me that for 9 months I couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of those things too is that even if you didn't have a regular routine beforehand, this is a great opportunity, I think, to start building into those positive and healthy lifestyle practices, because other things are already naturally going to start to move in a healthier direction for the most part. Mm-hmm. You're not really going to be able, you're definitely not going to be able to enjoy your drinks.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about, oh, I don't have time. Like, I want to go be with friends, or I'm hungover, or whatever the excuse is revolving around drinks. You're not going to be able to smoke cigarettes or anything like that. So, I mean, you're already starting to develop healthier practices within those 9 months. So why not naturally incorporate this in as well? So even if it's something that's new, maybe it won't feel so daunting because you have a why behind it more and a purpose behind it, and everything else that's going on in your life is starting to have a shift. So maybe it becomes easier to kind of fall into the routine.
Yeah, I love that. And that's definitely a shift that happens sometimes. I know it happened with me where I got a lot more earthy. And thinking about some of those things, that's actually when I started herbalism and looking into those, because I was not only responsible for myself, but now going to be responsible for this little person that's coming out. So I wanted to be, you know, finding healthier options, all of those things. And so it's a really great segue into maybe that shift in your life that you've been looking for.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, take that opportunity. And like Paula said, it should be a really positive thing, because now the working out, it's not just for the way that you look or the way that you feel. Yes, those things are going to still play a role in throughout your pregnancy as well. But you know that you're also trying to support this body that is literally, it blows my mind every time I think about it, growing a being inside. So, I mean, there's so much, I think, more that can go into it that maybe could resonate and help you feel positive going into your fitness routine as a newly pregnant woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, speaking of like earthy, you were talking about just growing something inside of you. And it totally made me think of the tree of life when we were talking about that a little bit.
Mm.
And so some of the things I wanted to talk about today when it comes to herbalism is just looking at, you know, touching back on when we talked about the mountain medicine episode and how plants that were more resilient, once you consume those plants, then you became more resilient. So if you're looking at certain herbs as a mother and saying, okay, what might be good for me? Looking at how the plant actually protects itself is a key into how it can be beneficial to you. So kind of some of the things that means is, for mothers in particular, boundaries are really good. So even if you're not a mother and you're listening to this episode and you know that you might have issues with boundaries, or maybe you're a bit of a people pleaser, because women in general from a very young age are always told to be quiet, nice, polite, don't say no. So when you get into these situations as you get older where you have to say no, there's a lot of anxiety around that because you still have those feelings of when you were a child and it was nervous to say no because you might get in trouble, mm-hmm. right? And so for women in general, this applies to mothers, but just women, really looking at some herbs that will help with boundaries. Now I'm going to touch on a few today just briefly because we've already talked about them in previous episodes. So you can go back to some of those episodes. But motherwort, for instance, we've talked about this one. This one is fantastic, but the plant has a really prickly side to it. So it looks really great, but then when you go to touch it, it's like, ouch, you know, you're going to get pricked by it. And so it's that protection mechanism that it has that kind of segues into how it protects you. So it's really helpful. Motherwort, the Latin name for it is also lionheart, which I think is really cool. So when you need that extra courage, maybe, you know, you've been, you know, not to be too negative, but a bit of a doormat when it comes to where people please or whatever it might be. And you really need to build up that courage. Motherwort's fantastic for that. We'll probably be using motherwort in one of the mocktails that we're doing when we do our hike.
Sweet.
Because that one's great for all kinds of things, especially, you know, if you're going in, you're trying to get a promotion or some of those things, you know, if you're your mom or not a mom or reentering the workforce, whatever it might be. Hawthorn. Now the tree hawthorn actually has these thorns that were created evolutionary when we had these big giant land or ground sloths that were like the size of cars,
yeah, you
know, massive. And so the sloths would usually go with these big hands. I mean, these things were huge and just grab a tree like it was a bush and try to rip off some of the leaves. And so hawthorns had these big thorns to stop them. Now, it doesn't stop the animals we have now, but from an evolutionary standpoint, it kind of speaks to being able to stop and protect yourself from kind of that big bully, right? Uh-huh. And cool. So hawthorn's really good for that kind of protection. So maybe you're in an instance where you have
need to be a mama bear.
Right, when you have an overbearing mother-in-law, or maybe you're in a job situation where you've got somebody who's kind of overly just micromanaging you and some of those, and you need to kind of build up that courage and protect yourself. Hawthorn's really great. And then linden is a really nice one that I enjoy often. And the really interesting thing with the linden tree is that the trunk of the tree is pest resistant. And so you don't see, it's really great for furniture making and some other things, but you don't see insects boring into the trunk, but they're really, really attracted to the leaves. And so the tree itself has this mechanism where it's like, okay, I'm going to allow you to be on my leaves and have this community of insects, but the trunk is for me, like this is my space. And for moms, you know, we've all heard that story of the giving tree. She keeps giving and giving, and then it's just like a dead stump, right? It's like all gone, and then nobody's there, and you know, whatever. And so it really reminds me of linden some of the time, and that's a really nice soft one to just kind of have, especially if you've got like frazzled thoughts, or you know, you're just kind of at the end of your rope for the day. Always drinking some linden tea is really nice because it's going to soothe that, especially if you add linden with tulsi. We've talked about tulsi quite often. During our event this weekend, somebody asked about emotional and mental health and what are some good herbs for that. Tulsi is fantastic. You know, like we mentioned, it's got those warming aspects to it in the body, but then really cooling to the mind. So mixing tulsi and linden would be nice. Linden and chamomile also are really fantastic if you're looking just to have some calmness, but you also want to build up those boundaries. And then the motherwort and hawthorn, so the hawberries, we've talked about those in the past. You put the berries with the motherwort, and those are fantastic together. So just some things that help moms at any stage, whether they're new or maybe they've got some new life changes where they have to kind of build up that courage. Those are some really cool herbs to look at.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of building up courage, this is going to be, I'm pulling here for this segue, but I wanted to get the bad stuff out of the way. And when you're exercising, or just when you're going through anything, whether pregnant or not, sometimes we fear the injury or the reaction that we're getting, and we don't always address it, especially right. If we're trying to act really tough or something, or we're trying to just be like, oh no, that's normal, it's fine. You know, I feel like we often tend to do that. Don't do that. And that's my segue. So exercise warnings to look out for and to take seriously. These may seem obvious, but like I said, a lot of people just brush them under the table, try to brush it off. But there's, you remember, it's not just you anymore. So vaginal bleeding, unusual pain, dizziness, a shortness of breath, chest pain, fluid leaking from your vagina, uterine contractions, muscle cramps. So just all things, you know, you may have felt cramping when you weren't pregnant, so you may try to brush that off. But now is a time that more so than ever, you should probably be more connected to the way that your body's reacting to things.
Right.
So I just want you to keep that in mind. I just wanted to get that little warning out of the way so that we could then segue into focusing on all the benefits. But just stay really aware. You know, this is completely different, but just when I was going through my kidney stone experience, you know, the day after, I was really quiet, and it wasn't, you know, I didn't play music, which I always have music playing. Mm-hmm. I didn't really watch anything. I didn't have any big movements, and I was just really quiet because I was honestly just trying to listen to my body and listen for any pain or try to feel any reactions or anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's that same mindfulness that you should take into any time you move with or without your pregnancy, but especially during pregnancy.
Right.
Now that we got that out of the way, the benefits of movement and why you shouldn't fear it. So just like people who aren't pregnant, even 20 to 30 minutes of movement can be beneficial. So if you, especially if you're, you know, starting a fitness regime, don't feel like, okay, I'm pregnant and I'm starting this and I have to do an entire hour. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to feel overwhelmed. This should be something positive and supportive in your life. So don't doubt that even 20 minutes of movement, 30 minutes of movement is going to fit you or is going to not be beneficial, because it absolutely is. It can reduce back aches. You know, your movements could help with constipation, bloating, swelling. It could help manage and treat gestational diabetes. Mm. Increase energy, improve mood, improve posture, which I know is something that right. We're going to talk about a little bit later, helps with sleep, and of course still promotes that muscle tone and that strength and that endurance. And when you do think about how you're going to move, just think about what feels right to you. I was reading, and I know that this goes for pregnant women and not pregnant women. We all, and people in general, we all find and enjoy movement differently. We just do. Some people really enjoy going hard all the time. Mm-hmm. Some people really enjoy Tai Chi, which is so slow and so mindful. You know, even if you just do yoga, yin yoga versus
vinyasa.
Yeah. That quicker, more flowing movement versus those long holds where you have a hold for 2 or 3 minutes sometimes. Mm-hmm. So don't feel like you have to work out a certain way. If you find yourself pregnant and slow yoga and Pilates and just really calming movement is what makes you feel good, do that. If you are into running, or if you're into even some of HIIT training, you could do that too. Mm-hmm. You just have to stay mindful of you know, being able to change with the changes that happen in your pregnancy.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about that in a little bit, but your workouts could start to shift and reflect, you know, as you go through your trimesters and go through different phases of that. Mm. And one of the cool things is that some studies have also shown that if you do have a physical activity throughout your pregnancy, it could reduce the rates of C-sections, and it also helps keep an appropriate weight between both the mother and the child. Mm-hmm. So all good reasons to continue moving and to not fear that movement and just to listen to your body and find what suits you.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're, you know, not a first time mom, you've got a few kids. And so you've got little ones running around and then you're pregnant again, you're trying to find a way to stay active, just turning on, you know, the music and dancing around with the kids or doing some of that, like any kind of movement that you're going to get mm-hmm. throughout the day is going to be that release that you need.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, go for a walk. That's enough.
Absolutely.
It really is.
So let's see, we're going to talk a little bit about new moms and kind of postpartum anxiety and depression and some of those things. Now, like I mentioned, we've mentioned some of these herbs before. So passion flower, this is not one that you're going to want to take while you're pregnant or breastfeeding. So, you know, I say that because some moms don't breastfeed when mm-hmm. their babies are born. And so this might be an okay herb for you to then have. So passion flower is a nervine. And so like we mentioned before, that's going to be really calming to the nervous system and protecting. And it's got a little bit of an earthy flavor. So you're going to normally get the powder. If you're looking for something maybe online or going to an herbal store, the powder is probably your best bet because you can put that into like a morning smoothie. So it's going to help just with all of that anxiety of maybe being a new mom or all of the new things that are shifting within your life that feel a little bit out of control. And then also just getting back into your body as a woman. Passion flower is fantastic for helping to facilitate female orgasms. So mentally and physically, because I know that can be a real mental thing versus a physical thing. And so, you know, I think it's an all around perfect herb if you're not breastfeeding to incorporate. And then we have Elytro. So this one is chronic stress, endurance, memory, stamina. So this is an adaptogen, essentially. When you have stress from maybe just your whole entire experience, being pregnant, being a new mom, maybe, you know, all of these other stresses that are coming on, and you always feel fatigue. We've talked about this one in the past. And when we talk about endurance and stamina, that's really just getting through the day. Sometimes you just need something. So adaptogens, we mentioned this over the weekend at our event. If you haven't incorporated some sort of adaptogen, it's really important to find one that works for you because it is a natural way to just help your body with stress. This one is very stimulating. So again, if you're breastfeeding, it's not one that you'll want to use, or you just want to use it with caution because it is a little more stimulating. But it also may increase bleeding and blood pressure. So just some things to keep in mind. Like we mentioned, we don't know your medical history. We don't know some of the other things that you're doing. So these are just some that we'd like to mention that might help. I want to talk a little bit about this. I had someone reach out to me on Instagram and they were looking for some herbs postpartum. They found something on Pinterest and it was just a photo that said, hey, oh, this is great for this. And they sent it to me and said, I want this replicated. Just because you see it on Pinterest and there's an article that says it's good for this, that, or the other thing, just take that with a grain of salt and do more research. Especially even if the person might have a lot of followers or some of those things, you really want to make sure, especially when you're a new mother. So one in particular is Shepherd's Purse. You know, it's said that it stops bleeding. And so women after pregnancy like to use this, but it's really dangerous to use during pregnancy because it induces contractions. And then you also want to be careful breastfeeding and taking this because of those things. The other thing is that even though you're using it as a wash, it's still absorbed through your body, and the chemical components and the phytochemicals within Shepherd's Purse actually contribute to kidney stones. And so this is something right. And so when I was pregnant, I ended up getting gallbladder stones, you know. And there's all kinds of complications and changes that happens in your body. And so you might see that you're more susceptible to these things in general. And then adding an herb on top, this one in particular binds the calcium within your body, making it very, very easy for kidney stones to form. And so when someone comes to me and says, hey, I want this because it says it does this, it aids in wound healing, it's a hormonal imbalance, like all these fantastic things. Yes, but it also has these side effects that we really want to be weary of. I just wanted to mention that because especially if you're already somebody who's eating healthy, spinach, kale, some of those that already have a lot of calcium in them, and then maybe you have hard water or some of those other things where you've got calcium going into your body, you don't want to take Shepherd's Purse because chances are you're going to be forming kidney stones. And as Danielle can tell you, that's a very painful process.
It is. It's the closest I'll ever get to that child's birth feeling. Right. So it is definitely, definitely painful. Gives me the chills just thinking about it. All right. So I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about how the body changes and a couple of things to keep in mind, whether listening as a trainer or whether listening as just someone who is going to impart, you know, create their own fitness routine while they're in their pregnancy. As some of you may or may not know, but your breasts may change. Even I know that. But especially if you're breastfeeding, you know, your breasts tend to get larger, they'll get more tender, they're more apt to leakage. So just being aware of maybe avoiding excessive plyometric movements, and with incontinence as well. Mm-hmm. I deal with quite a few women who have given birth and they're not new mothers, but even older mothers and stuff like that. And since I've never experienced it myself and I haven't studied, you know, prenatal training, this just wasn't something that I had on my radar. But I would always have them do jumping jacks and they would always give me this look. And I just thought it's because they didn't want to do any cardio. And then I found out over conversations and as they became more comfortable that they would pee a little bit every time. And reading a couple of articles doing the research for this podcast, jumping jacks seem to be like a particular move that affects women, you know, especially when it comes to that. So keeping those things in mind and being easily... what's the word I'm looking for? Just being able to kind of go with the flow, like knowing that the body's changing, knowing that women's energy levels are going to be shifting throughout the pregnancy. So if one day that energy level is really low, you may have to shift that workout for the day to something that's more applicable on that day for that mother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just taking those little things into consideration, prone exercises. So prone is when you're face down. Supine is when you're face up. So a good way to remember that is think about holding a bowl of soup mm-hmm. with your hand. That would be supine when your palm is facing up, when you're facing up. Mm-hmm. So that prone, those prone exercises, especially, I mean, this may go have to go without saying, but especially as you get deeper and deeper into your pregnancy, you're not going to want to be laying on your belly like that, let alone your breasts. Mm-hmm. And you want to focus on developing the posterior chain strength. So the muscles of the back, the muscles of the back of the legs and the glutes, mm-hmm. because when you think about it, all the weight starts shifting to the front of the body. Mm-hmm. So the back of the body starts to really strain and you may start to tilt forward or have that anterior pelvic tilt that, you know, if you start to strengthen the back of the body and still maintain that integrity there, you'll be able to keep your alignment better, which is something that I was then going to segue into is, you know, whether you're looking and feeling for yourself or whether you're watching a client, the alignment of the body is going to change. The body composition changes, your hips change, which I'll talk about in a minute. So you really want to make sure that you're focusing on that. You're focusing on core stability. There's a hormone called relaxin that increases in the body for up to a year or more between pregnancy and afterwards. And it relaxes the body's muscles and tendons and ligaments and cervix. The pelvis stretches. So Paul and I recently talked about this a little bit, making the hip and the lumbar joints a little bit more unstable, a little bit more wide. Mm-hmm. So this could lead to aches and pains because you don't have that same tension mm-hmm. that your tendons and ligaments are trying to, you know, keep you supported. So you could look at this as a positive and just something to stay mindful of. I'm not even going to say negative right. because when you are actually giving childbirth, you're going to be really thankful that those tendons and those ligaments and some of those muscles have relaxed a little bit. But this could give you a little bit more mobility, a little bit more range of motion. And as long as you're careful and mindful mm-hmm. and you don't go into like hypermobility mm-hmm. or you don't overextend the joints, then you could kind of use it to your advantage a little bit and right. see if you could then maintain that same mobility afterwards because you've worked on that elongation of the muscles and you've worked on staying really aware of all of those things. There are also changes that happen to the musculoskeletal system of the body. So I kind of briefly mentioned this, but the interior part of the body, so the front part of the body, bearing a lot of weight changes. The pelvis can be pulled forward anteriorly into that tilt. The posture can become kyphotic. And the abdominal, you know, the abdominal muscles can all get overstretched. Hip flexors can get tight, weakened glutes. I mean, all of these things.
I have it all.
I know. Paul's like, check, 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 check. Well, you were mentioning how you were saying that your pelvis never really went back mm-hmm. into like a healthy posture, a healthy tilt after your pregnancy, right?
Right. And so, you know, for those who are looking to get pregnant or just within the stages of pregnancy, you know, unless you have a fantastic doctor, most of the time it's a real in and out situation. They're not telling you a lot of the stuff about these hormones that relax your body and over a year after giving birth and what that means for your body and some of the other things that we're talking about with how your body shifts and changes. And so it's really important to kind of be aware of that because I ended up having like a tilted pelvis and all these things that I didn't realize were going to be an issue. So then after I had my daughter and I wanted to figure out a way to not get pregnant right away, there was a lot of options that weren't available to me because of my tilted uterus. And then, you know, all the back issues that came with that afterwards, you know, the epidural and how there was a lot of side effects from that I didn't realize that weren't really explained to me very well. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to do your research, because you can't rely on the doctor a lot of the time. They're not going to be able to give you all of this information. And even now, I mean, my daughter's 12 at this point, and I gain my weight as if I'm still pregnant. And I have tons of back issues. The way I tilt, like when we work out, I have to really always tuck in my pelvis a lot of time mm-hmm. to get the correct posture mm-hmm. before I do any kind of back. So, you know, but if I would have known earlier on in pregnancy, the kind of stretches I should have been doing after I had my daughter to realign everything, it would have been really good, you know, and so research is important.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just what we're doing right now, talking about it, encouraging mm-hmm. each other, you know, just talking about the safe ways that you could still move. Like everything that I just talked about with the skeletal system, you know, don't be afraid of doing some hip thrusts, because you're going to be building stability in the hips. When you do your deadlifts, they don't have to be, you know, especially as you get later into your third trimester, closer to the end of your term, you're going to have to adjust the load. Just like I said, you make adjustments and you make changes as your body changes. But throughout the beginning of the pregnancy and until you get to that point, I mean, even towards the end, if you just go really light, you could be building up the muscles in the back of the body so that you feel that support and you don't run into those same issues. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, brings us to something that happens to a lot of women, is the diastasis recti. Mm-hmm. So that's the separation of the rectus abdominis muscle bellies in the abdominal area. And the rectus abdominis is essentially the most superficial part of our abdominal muscles. So those are the ones that people call like their six pack or their 12 pack. They're the ones that you see mm-hmm. on someone's body. And what could quite literally happen just from the expansion, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. is that those muscles quite literally separate themselves from each other. I was reading that even as a personal trainer, you can feel to see how separated right. the muscles are, because they're that apparent and they're that easily accessible, you know, that talking about how superficial they are in the body. Mm-hmm. So things to keep in mind for that are to stay out of any crunching or spinal flexion, all four positions, front loaded planks, trunk rotation. So this could put added stress on it. So doing your research, talking to your doctors, finding what works for you, doing some foam rolling, like Paula was saying, trigger point work, knowing that, you know, doing those pelvic floor exercises, whether you're in or outside of the gym. So those little squeezes that you can do, and then maintaining patterns of, you know, your hinging. You could still go into squatting positions, but like we talked about, change it as you go later into your term. Right. Lunging is actually really great to help build up gluteal strength, even a little bit more differently than squats do, just in the position that you're in. It allows you to really activate the underneath, the bottom part of the butt, which can be weak sometimes. Single leg stances. So those things are going to help with your balance, because with the way that your weight changes, you want to stay aware of that. You want to make sure that you stay safe. But when you do those single leg stances, always make sure you have something around you, because the exercises you want to avoid are things that are going to have you fall,
right.
or, you know, make contact with your abdominal, have any potential for abdominal trauma. So if you do practice any of those balancing moves, just have something next to you that you could grab onto or that you can slightly use for your support. And then, pulling versus pushing exercises. So something like a row versus a chest press. Mm-hmm. We said that a lot of the weight and a lot of tension comes in the front of the body and that you need that back support. So you want more pulling moves to pushing moves so that you facilitate that strong back strength so that you could counteract that forward weight that you have in your body.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think that there definitely needs to be more discussion between people and sharing of information about those things, because as much as the internet helps, it is sometimes hard to find exactly what you're looking for. And so I'm glad that we're doing this as our Mother's Day episode. And one of the last herbs that I had is Uva Ursi. So that's UVAURSI, Uva Ursi. This is more of a berry. You can get this in a supplement form. And it's astringent and bitter, really. So I don't necessarily use it for teas a lot of the time. You can, but I personally take it as a supplement. Mm. It's cooling and drying. And so that's where that astringency comes in. Anytime things are bitter and maybe they're a little more astringent, they're going to have a drying effect to it. Now, this is not really good for long-term use. This is using it when you need it and then not using it. Don't use it for more than 5 weeks at a time. Really, I would say 5 weeks within a year, even, mm-hmm. you know, just really sporadically for what it's intended for, because there are definitely side effects. This was another one where I had a question online about this, and they were looking to use this and just heard about it or saw it on Instagram or Pinterest or whatever, and were just sold instantly because it was anti-inflammatory, it's antimicrobial, it's a diuretic, which is really great. And, you know, you just have to look at some of those additional side effects. So what it's really used for in teas is to help with inflammation. That antimicrobial kind of aspect to it can help with infections, especially after giving birth, if you're looking for a particular wash or something to make sure. And that was, you know, the one thing, postpartum, there are infections and other things that can happen. And so, you know, being able to heal yourself with herbs is definitely better than taking a lot of the medications that maybe a doctor would prescribe or some of those things, but also just allowing your body the time to heal itself on its own. Because if you think about it, it's like, really, besides you, you know, being pregnant, it's your body's just doing all this stuff on your own. You're not getting up in the morning and consciously like, okay, today we're making the brain, you know, yeah. whatever. And so the same thing happens when your body starts to recover, and it can take, you know, a year or more. So really be patient with yourself. You know, we have these unrealistic ideals, especially in the media and in Hollywood, where, you know, we give birth as these celebrities, and then 2 or 3 days later, they just look like these goddesses on the runway. And, you know, if you don't look like a total goddess right after, if you haven't lost all of your baby weight 6 weeks after, then you're just like a failure of a human being or something. So give yourself that grace. I'm telling you, you know, I'm still healing a lot of the time. I probably should have done a lot more in the beginning after my pregnancy to kind of facilitate that, but it's really easy to fall back into some of those. But this is one where you're not going to want to take it again if you're pregnant. It's kind of after, because it does stimulate uterine contractions once again. And so a lot of those things, when you're looking at herbs, you want to just kind of keep that in mind, but it does support the uterus and kind of that toning aspect that we're talking about when we talk about like tonifying astringent. And so that's what it's been used for, as a wash a lot of the time, and just your body absorbing the phytochemicals in that. So it's a good one, definitely postpartum, but just be wary of some of the side effects and what that means for your body and what stage of pregnancy, post, you know, pregnancy and all of that you're in.
Yeah, lots of good ways to just support. But yeah, lots of research that needs to be done, especially because everyone is different. We're almost wrapped up here, actually. I'm glad that we were able to kind of go through some things for both during pregnancy and after pregnancy in ways that you can feel good and confident and supported. And at least in my regard, I just wanted to just have a last little parting note and just saying that when you do work out throughout your pregnancy, just remember that this isn't you working out for weight loss. If that's something you did before pregnancy, then while I want you to continue to move, your mentality and your perspective is going to have to shift. Mm-hmm. Now it's more, you are working out so that you could be supported. You're working out so that you could have a healthy mm-hmm. and a complication-free mm-hmm. Delivery, so that your baby could come out feeling healthy, so that there's, you know, babies feel things that are going on. I mean, they sense things, I think, that are going on inside the belly. They react to things. They react to music. They're going to react to that goodness that you are imparting in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that, oh, I don't want to be stressed during the pregnancy and things like that. So these are going to be ways that you don't have to be. So just remember that your movement, the reason why behind your movement, may have to shift a little bit.
Right.
But just keep in mind that if you do move, and if weight loss is something that is high up on your list of priorities, that if you continue to move just safely and correctly throughout your workout, this is going to set you up to lose that weight easier after the pregnancy. It's going to set you up to be able to fall back into your workout routine a little bit quicker, possibly. So just know that everything you do is for yourself. It's in support. It's in succession of how your body needs to move. And just, you know, keep that in mind as you go into everything.
Yeah, I think that's really important to just, like we said, give yourself some grace with that and realize that sometimes your body's not going to go back. I mean, honestly, there's no way it could go back. You've just created another human being. Do you really think that your body is going to be exactly like it was before. And honestly, do you want your body to be like that before? I mean, your body just did this amazing thing. Like, give it the credit it deserves. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to be a few pounds extra and that's your new weight. Maybe you're going to have to go up a few sizes in your jeans. But that, you know, I mean, honestly, think about like your mom, right? If your mom was maybe 20 pounds heavier, would that have changed how awesome your mom was?
No.
Exactly. Right? So just keep those things in mind.
No, and definitely it wouldn't have changed, yeah, the way I look at her or how wonderful and beautiful she is to me. And I'm sure that many of us feel the same way. So yeah, give yourself grace, give yourself love. Mm-hmm. And with that, we hope that you have a beautiful rest of your day. And we will see you for our next episode with a special guest. We'll be discussing PCOS. So it's going to be a really, really good, really knowledge dense, you know, download all this information type of episode. So stay tuned for that, and peace and love.
See ya.